The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin, Texas.
Welcome to The Bad Broadcast. I'm your host, Maddie Murphy. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to a new episode of The Bad Broadcast. My name is Maddie Murphy, and I am so glad that you are here. First thing I want to tell you guys is something I learned this week. So I woke up at like 3 a.m. last night, and I thought to myself, I don't know what Sephora means. I don't know what the word Sephora means. And it's the Sephora sale right now. So I've been on my consumerism bullshit. And I thought, I don't know what Sephora means. So I Googled it for all of us, and I thought it would be a little interesting tidbit to share. But it comes from the Greek word meaning beauty, which is Sephos, and also the name Zipporah, which according to Google is Moses's wife, was Moses's wife. Here's the thing about Moses. There's a new show on Netflix right now about Moses. And I'm just curious, is Moses real, verifiably real? Okay, you guys know I was raised very religious. It would shock you guys if you knew how little I know about religion or religious figures. Like, I don't know if these things are history or just like religion, because they differ. Sometimes the two differ, like history or, you know, factual evidence and faith, you know? I mean, that's kind of the whole point, is that they differ. So I don't know. I've Googled it and it doesn't seem to be much help. And everybody I ask has a bias one way or another. So I don't know. But Sephora is apparently connected to Moses. So he's real in my book from here on out. Anyway, other updates in my life. I went to the gym this morning. Unfortunately, it's become a big part of my personality, and I don't like it about myself just as much as you don't. Okay. But I did want to complain about one thing. If you're new here at The Bad Broadcast, to the podcast, we complain a fair amount. And I don't do it to be negative. I do it to be honest. And here's the thing about the gym that I want to complain about. Why do people have to do weird workouts? Like, why do people have to do the tire flip? Why do people have to kickbox in the middle of the floor? Why do people have to not wear shoes? Like, why can't we just have a mutual social agreement when we go to the gym that, like, we're all going to be cool, man. Like, we're all going to be normal. We're all going to use the machines for what they are. We're going to use dumbbells for dumbbelling. Like, can we stop getting creative? The gym is not the place for it. Okay. Every time I see, or like people who do like wrist workouts or like forearm workout, like, cool it. All right. Just keep it normal. Work out your quads, do a bicep curl, and call it a day. However, I've discovered something that really helps me at the gym. And unfortunately, it's listening to Hamilton. Man, if you want to hate the royal family, if you want to rebel against the crown, just listen to Hamilton while you're doing the bench press. I swear, nothing fills you with American pride quite like going to the gym and listening to Lin-Manuel Miranda. Okay, if I didn't already hate the royal family, which you guys know I do, we're beefing because I, you know, occasionally my blood runs red, white, and blue. Not always. Don't get me wrong. I like America a fair amount. All right. I'm not like foaming at the mouth for the 4th of July by any means. Like, I'm not going to, I think I've mentioned this before, but like people in other countries are like, why do Americans wear the flag? Like, why do you guys have bikinis with the American flag? I don't know. That's never going to be my vibe. But as far as not liking the royal family, that's where my patriotism really unfurls. But yeah, unfortunately, I do genuinely like listening to Hamilton at the gym. And I'm not proud of it. I'm not proud of any of this. Okay. I know that the gym is not a cool hobby. I know that I should probably be more interesting, but the gym is what I have. Okay. You find me a hobby with daycare and I will do it. That's as simple as it is. Okay. The gym has daycare. Boom. It's my new hobby. Another thing about me right now is that I'm on the hunt for the perfect white t-shirt. And I've had a lot of really good suggestions. If you're interested in my journey, there's a highlight on my Instagram. But yeah, sometimes I get suggestions for white t-shirts and they're so appalling to me because I don't want a V-neck with a pocket and folded and like tacked sleeves and then like, you know, tunic style that come to your knees that have slits on the side. Like, I don't want that. I want a normal ass white t-shirt. Why is this harder than finding out if Moses is real, is finding this white t-shirt? And so many people, again, I'm sorry, this is about to be negative. And if it's going to bring your day down, maybe skip forward a little bit. But so many people have suggested that I go to a store called Called to Surf. And that's a Utah store, in case you didn't know. And, you know, no hate, no shade, but it's the worst store name of all time. I don't like store names that are puns. And I also don't like store names that are hard to say. Okay. Viore is hard to say. I like it. I love their stuff. Hard to say, hard to spell. Called to Surf is a play on words because here in Utah, there's a common phrase called to serve. And that is about serving a Mormon mission. That's what it's in reference to. So somebody started this store called to Surf. And not only is it dumb, okay, we are hundreds of miles away from any ocean, any one of them, you name them. At least, you know, if you told me, you know, gun to my head right now, how many hundreds of miles away is California? I couldn't tell you. I'm going to go with 400. I'm going to go with 400 and I'm going to Google this on the spot. Distance from Salt Lake City to California. Okay. I was only off by half. So it's actually 800 miles away. Oh, and that's only to the middle of California. Why is that where it took me? Okay. It took me to Florida, which is 2,500 miles away. Either way you slice it, hundreds of miles. Okay. There, we have absolutely no business to be having a surf shop in the middle of Utah. There's no need for it. There's no need for it. So a lot of you guys have told me, well, go get your white tee there. I won't do it out of principle. I will not do it. Also, it's a boutique. Boutiques carry small, medium, and large. Have you seen me? Okay. I haven't been a large since probably age 11. That was when I grew out of larges. XL became my best friend. Now that I'm in my 30s, double XL does the trick. I'm not a large anymore. Okay. I can't go to these boutiques. So many people suggest these white t-shirts. And all I want to say is it a V-neck? Is it cropped? And can you look up the sizing for me? Because 9 times out of 10, those things are going to L and I need the additional sizes. All right, so there's what's going on in my life right now. Obviously, extremely exciting, but not as exciting as what you guys brought to me today, because today we're talking about small scale drama. And I love big drama. You know, I love celeb drama. I love my own drama. I love when things, you know, feel big. However, small scale drama seems to be what draws us all in the most. And you guys submitted stories to me, and I have a lot of thoughts about the many, many stories you guys have told me. We got to be honest about a few things in today's episode. So I'm going to need you to buckle up and get ready, because here we go with our small scale drama episode. First up, she says, I'm recently divorced and my ex-in-laws have all been showing up on, hold on, recently divorced and my ex-in-laws have all been showing up as having viewed my social media profiles. Like, 1 week, my ex-mother-in-law viewed my LinkedIn, and this week, my ex-brother-in-law viewed my TikTok, etc. Not gonna lie, I love knowing I am on their minds. Probably a toxic mindset, but who's to say? Finding out that TikTok notifies people when you look at their profile was terrifying. For those of you that didn't know, here's your formal warning. Sometimes, it's not everybody. On mine, I can't see who views my profile. But then I look at my boyfriend's TikTok and it shows who viewed it. So really, none of us are safe. None of us are safe. But it is, you know, I think it's a universal experience to feel satisfied by being on somebody's mind. It really is. And you beef up that LinkedIn, babe. You get all of the accolades. You lie about a few things on that LinkedIn. Who's going to verify? Who's going to verify? LinkedIn is not a social media that I dare enter. I have a LinkedIn and it's sparse. It's quite sparse because I've had the world's dumbest jobs in the world until I somehow found this one. Like, what am I supposed to put on my LinkedIn? first of all, nobody takes podcasting seriously, especially when you're a woman. Like, as though there's not enough things that people don't take us seriously doing. Podcasting is so one of them. I have so many guys that are like, oh yeah, I thought about like starting a podcast, like on the side, like, you know, I might do it. Every time they come back to me and they say, wait, how did you start? How did you grow? How did you start? And I say, yeah, it's not for the faint of heart, bro. So yeah, LinkedIn is a scary social media. I've scrolled on that a few times and it's terrifying. Okay. Next. My husband, baby daughter, and I just moved into a new house. We've met the neighbors. They seem nice enough. But the other day, one of the neighbors, Carol, rings our doorbell. And when my husband opens the door, she asks if she can talk to him. Carol then asks if she can have $30 to $40 and that she'll pay us back at the beginning of the month. He's too shocked to answer and he turns to me. And since I'm a people pleaser to a fault, I tell her that I'm about to place a grocery order and I can add groceries to it for her. She then says, oh, it's for my 7-year-old son. He needs it for school. I reiterate that we can buy her groceries if she would like. She hesitantly accepts, but it's obvious she'd rather have the cash. Fast forward to the next day, I send my husband over to her house with a few bags of groceries. Another woman who lives there, Nancy, answers the door and my husband tells her what happened and that we have some groceries for them. Nancy is mortified. She's like, thank you, but no, thank you. We don't need anything. I don't know why Carol was going around asking for money. He comes back with the groceries and a few minutes later, our doorbell rings. It's Nancy and Carol's husband. Wait, I read that wrong on my first read through. I just saw Carol's husband, but now I'm seeing Nancy and Carol's husband. Okay, we've got a throuple working and these seem to be older. Well, no, they've got a 7-year-old son. You know, do what your heart desires. I'm open to any lifestyle. As long as you're not hurting anybody, who cares what you do? I just personally have never seen a throuple work out. Ever, like in all of my days being on this planet, of all of the media I've consumed, of all of the throuple content that I have studied, it's never happened. I was going to say it's not often that they work out, but I think they're batting 0.000. So anyway, I digress. They were like, we're so sorry Carol asked you for money. We're so embarrassed and we want to make sure we didn't come off as rude. Carol just wanted money for cigarettes. They were actually super nice, but it was definitely a strange encounter. $30 to $40. How much does a pack of cigarettes cost? On average in the United States, a pack of cigarettes can range from $6 to $15. Okay. So she needed a few packs. Carol was running low. She was jonesing and she ran over to the neighbors. That's a crazy, crazy ask for cash for cigs from your neighbors. When you're in a throuple, here's the thing. If you're in a throuple, you have two people that should be able to support your cigarette addiction. The neighbors are like seventh on the list. All right, next up. My new sister-in-law on my husband's side almost didn't show up to my wedding because we had it on the same day of the month as her wedding. Not the same day of the year, not the same day of the month. Like hypothetically, if my wedding was on August 19th, her wedding was on January 19th. I had no idea that it was her wedding date. And because my colors were black, she was mad about our colors because in her own words, why does she think I have a black dress? She didn't say a word to me or anyone the whole time, left right after the ceremony. And I didn't see her for the whole rest of the night. I'm sorry, if you're out here celebrating monthiversaries, if the certain day of the month is so precious to you that it ruins somebody else having a wedding on just the same number, you need to reevaluate so many things. And then she follows up with, why does she think I have a black dress? If anybody owned one dress, I would assume it's black. Like, I think I own one and it's black. I actually know that I recently purchased a white dress and that was really branching out for me. Everybody owns a black dress. Okay. This episode of The Bad Broadcast is sponsored by Athena Club. This year, I'm officially moving on from the cheap, little, dinky, pink, dumb razors that I always buy. They don't work. I always think they're going to, and they literally never do. I need a premium razor, and the Athena Club razor is truly worth the hype. I keep it in my shower. My boyfriend always steals it. I'd be replacing those razor heads as often as possible. So step up your shaving game now with Athena Club's award-winning razor kit. It is the best on the market, and here's why. First of all, it's a great price. It's a steal at just $10. It's got a magnetic hook, and it has amazing quality. Athena Club's razor glides effortlessly thanks to those 5 precision-engineered blades, okay? It is heavy-duty. The blades are perfectly spaced out, so you'll experience less irritation, which is always a win in my book. I also don't think I've ever had a multitasking razor, but this one moisturizes while you shave with an avocado oil and hyaluronic acid serum. Plus, it has built-in skin guards that help prevent razor burn. Do you see why it's always stolen from me? Of course. After I shaved like 2 times with my old razor, it never worked as well. Athena Club keeps delivering the smooth shave. So are you ready to upgrade your shaving experience? Of course you are. Switch to the best razor on the market and show your skin you care with Athena Club. Head over to athenaclub.com to try their award-winning razor and body products and get 20% off of your purchase with code BAD at checkout. You can also find Athena Club razors at your local Target. Trust me, you won't look back. Happy shaving. This episode of the Bad Broadcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. How is your social battery right now? How are things going? Are you feeling drained after the winter? Are you feeling revived because it's starting to warm up? People are starting to gather. We're starting to have dinners on the patio again. It can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself too thin, especially because things are picking up after winter. So what is the right amount of socializing for you, and how do you recharge? Do you like to hang out with people? Do you like more alone time? Whatever it may be, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery and that actually enriches your life. I have had many wonderful, wonderful therapists in my life. They have changed the way I see myself, the way I think about things, and the way I prioritize my relationships. And BetterHelp is a perfect place to start if you are thinking about giving therapy a try. If you're thinking of starting therapy, BetterHelp is a great fit. It's entirely online, and it is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. This part is so key. As I have discussed before, you need to be really picky with who you choose as your therapist, and BetterHelp makes that super easy because if the vibes are off, you need to be aware of that and you need to be able to switch, and they make it really easy. So find your social sweet spot and enrich your relationships with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/bad today to get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bad today to get 10% off of your first month of online therapy. Okay, next one. I got into a mini road rage fight, and we both ended up saying petty things to each other. She was recording me the whole time, and I really didn't care because I knew I was in the right. A month later, I got a phone call from a mom of a child I teach. She said, I need to call the police station because they're looking for me. She sent a screenshot, and the screenshot was the police department looking for me on their Facebook page. Do police officers use Facebook now to track people down? Who knew? The photo being from the video that the other driver clearly took. I've never been so scared in my life. I immediately called and they came to my house to get my side of the story. I genuinely thought I was going to jail, but ultimately they submitted the report and she got a ticket for screaming profanities and I got a ticket for honking in a residential area. Found out she told the cops I was trying to run her over. And the cops said it's possible we were both in the right and the lights changed at different times. What? Well, the police won't take down their photo of me, so I'm still plastered all over the police page, and my whole family thinks it's so funny, and I do not. My road rage is probably the thing I'm least proud of. I get road rage, and I remember the first time I flipped somebody off. I was 16. I was fresh. I was fresh on the road, and I flipped somebody off, and it was a friend of mine, and I was so scared. Like, I thought I was going to get in huge trouble. I thought my parents were going to find out. I thought, like, the principal was going to find out. I thought I was going to be dead. Now I am so willy-nilly with my middle finger on the road. I'm sorry. I used to be so scared that it was going to be like somebody in my neighborhood or it's going to be somebody at my church that I like accidentally flipped off. Now I do not care. I don't care. If you're annoying on the freeway, I'm going to tell you. You know what else I do? I do a big thumbs down. Sometimes I do a thumbs down, which feels way more offensive than a middle finger. Like if somebody flipped me off, I'm like, yeah, whatever, you hate me. If they give me a thumbs down, that's insulting my character. Okay, that's insulting my parenting. It's insulting my work ethic. It's insulting who I am at my core if you give me a thumbs down. So if you really want to offend me on the freeway, if you see me, I should get a sticker on the back of my car just in case. Just in case. Actually, you know what? I'm going to get us all stickers. I'm going to get us all bumper stickers. So if we see fellow broads on the freeway, we know that we have a pass. Okay, you're allowed to be annoying when you have a bad broadcast sticker on your car. But my biggest shock from the story is that the police use Facebook to track down people. That's crazy. Do they have albums still on Facebook? Are there like albums of like who they're hunting down? Okay, next one. My grandparents came to visit from Arizona. My sister-in-law and I both had new babies, so she came to see them. I'm assuming she means the grandma. She had been working on sewing new blankets for them, like she had with all the great grandbabies, and she made a big deal and had a big reveal for everyone to watch. And she opened my nephew's blanket and it was like 2 by 3 feet. No padding, nothing amazing, but still sweet, obviously. Then she did the same for my daughter's blanket. She did a drum roll and it was 3 times the size, extra thick and fuzzy and cute. I felt so bad, but I also died because like, why? Why would she do that? I believe it in my heart. Grandparents and parents be playing favorites. All right. I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's natural, but I think we need to stop acting like grandparents don't have favorites. They absolutely do. This is a little wild because they're just babies. Like the grandma doesn't even know them. I think that all the time about my baby. Like I'm like, you're cool to me and I'm always going to think you're cool, but like, I don't even know you yet. I don't even know you yet. I don't even know what your personality is. I don't even know. Are you cool? Are you a narc? Like, I don't know what your vibe is. I don't know. So yeah, I do think that grandparents play favorites. I really do. And honestly, sometimes I think parents do. Maybe not favorites, but I think that there's definitely a difference in like relationships with kids. Wow, I'm explaining interpersonal relationships in a family as though I invented this. But yeah, I think that people play favorites. Okay. I think the parents do. All right, next one. My mother-in-law spent thousands on a Pomeranian that is actually a Pom/Chihuahua mix. But she looks very Chihuahua and I'm a bitch and I bring it up every occasion I can. Jeez, why? Why? She insists it's 100% purebred teacup Pom. I'm probably going to gift her a dog DNA test for Christmas because I'm petty. If you want, I can send you a picture. I picked this one because what the hell, man? What problem is it causing you? Like, let the woman have a small yappy dog. Let her say it's a Pomeranian when it's actually a Chihuahua. I'm not trying to be offensive here, but I do think that you're the problem. I do think that you're causing this drama over probably nothing. Sometimes I think about how expensive those dog training classes are. And I wonder, why am I not certified in dog training? Because I know these people who get, you know, little doodles. They get a doodle of sorts. And which, by the way, golden doodles, not cute. Okay. They're kind of creepy. When they're babies or puppies, they're puppies, they're totally fine. Those things get bigger and they are very unsettling. Anyway, and then they send them to dog training school, which is like 10 grand. How hard could it be? How hard could it be? I got a 12-week-old to sleep through the night. I can get a dog to pee outside. All right. Next one. Someone I know has been dating this guy for 5 years and had a feeling he was going to propose soon. They had a big family dinner coming up and she thought that this would be the moment that he would pop the question. Instead, he came over before the dinner to tell her that he had been cheating on her with one of her friends for a few months. She went to the family dinner and made him tell his family what had happened. Yes. She kicked him out of their apartment and was heartbroken, but trying to cut all ties with him and his family. Fast forward a month later, and she keeps getting calls from him that she ignores. He calls enough times that she finally picks up and tells her that he has found a malignant brain tumor and is going the following week for surgery to remove it. One of the symptoms of this specific brain tumor was difficulty making decisions and having poor impulse control. All right. So while it doesn't completely excuse his behavior, a lot of the impulse control issues could be attributed to that. Yeah, they could be. They could be contributed to that. However, how do we know? How do we know? I don't know these people. Okay. I don't have a dog in this fight. Don't get mad at me. I have just seen crazier things happen than people being manipulated by medical diagnoses. It happens sometimes. And if this is true, I feel horrible. But if this is not true, that guy is a psychopath. So please verify, call the doctor, call his mom, request medical records. I want proof because seriously, there are crazier things that people have faked to get the woman of their dreams back. Okay, next. I have a coworker who comes into my office multiple times a day to ask if we're mad at him and if we hate him. He walks around sighing loudly and pouting to himself 24/7. We've had multiple supervisors quit this year and he's cried each time, even though they were horrible people who abused their employees. He constantly asks if there's anything he can do to help, and then he refuses to do anything. He writes rap and poetry and will perform it to you unprovoked. Let me say that again. He will rap to you or do a spoken poetry and expect you to validate him at all times. He shoves religion down everyone's throat and pushes his mental health onto our mentally ill clients. His wife will call him at work. He has a wife, which was a real, real head scratcher. His wife will call him at work with the sole purpose of yelling at him for buying his fourth Diet Coke of the day. Okay, hard ass. Also, he recently said that I hate men because my coworker's husband cheated on him. He pulled another coworker aside and compared the comment to racism and said it made him extremely uncomfortable. I'm not even going to justify my comment because I think men mostly suck and this guy furthers my case. LOL, this is barely the tip of the iceberg, but I'm at my breaking point. Send help. If God is real, I'm fully convinced that he puts our hardest trials, our most difficult times in a nice little package called coworkers with a side package called roommates. These people that you are forced to be around, they are truly some of the hardest people, like the hardest personalities that I've had to figure out how to get along with. 100% of them have been coworkers. Maybe 90% have been coworkers, 10% have been roommates. They are so, so hard. And for some reason, I mean, this whole story is bad. First of all, the wife calling because he purchased his fourth Diet Coke. I mean, four Diet Cokes, how much could that cost? Probably $4. So, you know, she's a hard ass on budgeting and I respect it. Why is he drinking four Diet Cokes a day? Why? I live in Utah. You guys know this. We are the capital of plastic surgery, mommy bloggers, and 44-ounce Diet Cokes with coffee creamer. And they're delicious. I understand. I love a soda. Okay. I love Fresca. I love Diet Coke. My holy grail combination is Diet Coke with lime and Mexican food. I love it. But if you are drinking multiple Diet Cokes a day, I need you to Google osteoporosis. I did my fifth grade science project on it. I don't know if this has been debunked, but I'm pretty sure that soda weakens your bones. And it's also just terrible for you. Like, I think that it's going to be one of those things in like 200 years, they're going to look back at our civilization, maybe more, maybe like 500 years. They're going to look back at our civilization and be like, why did they play football? And why did they drink soda? The two things that we knew were just rotting away their brain. Why were they doing them? And we're going to have no answer. We're to have no answer. We're just going to say, because we were bored and we had brain rot from social media. And we thought, you know what? What's 7 gallons of Diet Coke a week going to do? And they're going to look at our skeletons and they're going to say that's what it could do. You guys are made of sponges. Where was I going with that? I can't remember. Coworkers are tough. I'm so sorry, but I love coworker drama. I love work drama. Like I love like bad bosses. Like we've done bad boss episodes before. Why do those always hit so hard? Bosses are crazy. My boss is insane. I always tell this joke. I always tell that joke about how terrible my boss is. I'm my own boss. This episode of the Bad Broadcast is sponsored by Clean Simple Eats. Oh, it's a good day when I get to tell you guys about Clean Simple Eats. You want to know what I did the other day? I was at the grocery store and I saw a flavor of Clean Simple Eats that I had not tried yet. You know what I did? I grabbed it so fast, paying full price, even though they are a partner. This protein powder is exactly what it says it is. It is clean and simple. Their protein powder is always grass-fed with no seed oils, no artificial ingredients. It's third-party tested, non-GMO, and gluten-free, and so incredibly delicious. It is creamy and smooth without the chalky texture common in most other protein powders. You know the type. You know when it gets all chalky and you just have that aftertaste of protein, not Clean Simple Eats. I've got everybody hooked on it. We all know how important it is to get enough protein in our diet, and it is really tough. It's hard to hit those protein goals. Clean Simple Eats is the most delicious and best way to do so. I have it every single night in my protein ice cream. It fuels me quite literally. My most used is definitely the vanilla. I use that in my yogurt when I do protein yogurt, or protein yogurt bark is another fave that I have. And then in my ice cream, I do like the brownie batter. However, I just tried the peaches and cream and the cookies and cream. Every single flavor that I try is my new favorite flavor. I can't help it. So visit cleansimpleeats.com and use the code BAD10. That's BAD10 at checkout for 10% off of your order. That's Clean Simple Eats, code BAD10 for 10% off of your order. This episode of the Bad Broadcast is sponsored by Way. I spend like a lot of time doing my hair. Okay, if you've got kind of wavy, frizzy hair, you know that it's quite the task to do a whole wash and a whole routine and a whole blow dry, because if you go to bed with your hair wet, you wake up and it's a mess. So you got to really take every extra minute to make sure that your hair is sleek and dry and looking fresh. I would rather be doing so many other things than my hair, but it's just kind of not an option. I have to make sure that it's not frizzy. If I go to bed with my hair wet, I wake up and it is an absolute disaster. That's why I rely on Way. I rely on Way for basically all of my hair needs. I mean, I love their detox shampoo. I love their leave-in conditioner. And I'm so excited to tell you about Way's new anti-frizz cream, because we're too busy to be frizzy. So grab Way's new anti-frizz cream. It is a lightweight cream that provides immediate frizz control that lasts for up to 72 hours. Summer's coming up, guys, and I get sweaty. Okay, I get sweaty in the summer. That means my hair is getting sweaty and it's getting frizzy. I need that 72-hour protection every single time. It provides immediate frizz control. It helps reduce and repair split ends. And according to a consumer perception study, 90% of participants agree that their hair looks less frizzy. So frizz free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter the promo code BAD for 15% off of any product. That's theouai.com, promo code BAD. Okay, so my mom let a 40-year-old man move into her basement for free. She insists that they aren't dating or anything. He just needs some help for a few months. So a little bit about this guy. He quit his job to pursue photography, and he's also training right now to try out for the NFL. Okay, so he's entering his garbage picking, field goal kicking, Philadelphia phenomenon era. He's never played football, but he's really big, so he missed his life calling or whatever. All right. He also has two kids and they have completely taken over eating and using everything. So here's the real tea. He asked me for breast milk. The second time I met him, I had a couple frozen bags in my mom's freezer. He said he saw them and he was wondering if I was the daughter that breastfed. He's like, "You the milker?" And if I had any more, he could have for his NFL training. My siblings don't have kids yet, so it was a weird way to bring it up. And I told him my baby still drinks it, so I didn't have any extra. And then he asked if I knew anyone else I could get it from. I asked him how much he was looking to buy, because no one gives away their breast milk like that. And he said, "Oh no, not to buy, but like if you come across any or find any," like, yeah, if you just are like cleaning out your car and you find a bag. So this stranger wants me to source some breast milk for him for free. I told him he could use what was in the freezer because I didn't remember it was there. And he told me he already used it. He said he felt like he was getting kind of sick and he was really sore. So he put it in a smoothie and woke up the next day feeling great. But now he just wants more to see how it helps his training recovery. But he didn't ask me or my mom about it. He just drank it. I could go on, but we'll save the rest for another submission. Thanks for reading. Keep up the mom content. My baby and I are big fans. Drinking. Hold on. I need several minutes to process this. Thinking about a strange man, okay, I'm going to be very honest. I know that breast milk does not gross out a lot of people. I know that a lot of people have like tasted their own breast milk or like, I don't know, their partner's breast milk. I tasted mine and it actually like, I didn't like it. Okay. I didn't like the taste. I didn't like what was happening. Like I didn't like drinking something from my body. I know that's not common. If you're into it, please don't be mad at me. Okay. Please just understand different strokes for different folks. I know some people like love it. For the record, I would use it topically. I would use it on my face. I would put it in ice cubes and rub it all over, but actually ingesting it grosses me out. However, my mom's random 40-year-old roommate drinking my breast milk unprovoked and then asking me to source some for him so that he could train to be in the NFL. Let me break some news to this man who's definitely not listening. Nobody in the NFL is 40. That's not true. So few people in the NFL are 40. And guess what? They're at the end of their careers. They are. They've already completed their journey. They've already got CTE. They already probably have a Super Bowl. They're well beyond 40. Okay. It's time to give up your dreams. Okay. Next one. My ex-husband just released an album on Spotify and it's absolutely terrible. It's so bad that my friends and I will jokingly play it and sing along, and it ended up on one of my friends' Spotify Wrapped. I equal parts love it and hate it. Oh, relatable. Relatable. A lot of you guys have asked me if I'm going to get new theme music because, you know, it's old and for other reasons. I don't know. I don't know. If somebody wants to write me some new theme music, I will welcome it with open arms. Okay, at my office job, I naturally send a lot of emails. A group in particular that I send a lot of emails to are the front desk staff. I used to work on this particular front desk staff prior to being promoted. Needless to say, I'm very aware of the responsibilities that are involved in running the business smoothly in the front desk role. Part of my new job is to update the front desk staff on changes that occur quite frequently. My normal email tone is straight to the point and factual, strictly business. I don't use emojis or exclamation points since that is just not how I roll. I was recently told nicely by one of my coworkers that they got word that one of the front desk staff told them, that was quite the chain, told them that my email tone is intense and that I come off as aggressive in my email messages. My coworker assured me that she knows how I usually email and that they know that my intention is never to be mean or aggressive. But when trying to communicate, I now feel I have to overuse emojis and exclamation points in my emails or else I'll be perceived as aggressive in my tone. Am I overthinking it or are they just oversensitive? They are oversensitive. And normally I would not be so factual. I would not be so to the point with that because I get it. I get it. However, men email with no emojis and no exclamation points all the time. Look in your inbox. Okay, look in your inbox for emails from men and scour for an exclamation point. Almost never. I think we should all go exclamation sober in our emails because there's no need for it. There's no need for it. But as women, we're always like, how do we come across like super kind or super polite or super bubbly? No, you are allowed to just relay information. All right. You don't have to be a personality email every single time. Okay. Next one. I love dogs, but I am ready to commit a PETA violation. Okay. Listen, Maddie, first off, I love you and I want you to be my mom. Second, I'm a college student. I would love to adopt a college student. I'm a college student living in an apartment with two other girls at the moment. We're all fairly introverted, so we don't really talk to each other. They're nice enough and clean and whatnot, so I don't really have a problem with either of them. But oh my God, one of them has a service dog. And let me tell you, this thing could win the Yap Olympics. It barks all the time. I come out of my room, it barks. Anyone walks through the door, it barks. Me and my friends sit in our living room watching a movie. The dog won't shut the hell up. Maddie, I swear I'm going to kill this dog. And to make things worse, it's one of those little crusty white things with such a kickable face. There's only 1 month left of the semester, so I don't want to be that bitch that's like, hey, you need to get rid of your dog before I commit murder. But every one of my friends that comes over comments on how annoying it is, and I don't know if I can take it one more month. P.S. I overheard my roommate talking to her friend one time about how she couldn't live without this stupid little dog. And my other roommate also loves the dog. So apparently this is a me and my friend's problem, but we literally have a line to kill this animal. P.P.S. I promise I love dogs. I would never harm any for any PETA officials who might be listening, but I feel like you're going to have a service animal in shared places. It needs to be an actual service animal. Thanks for listening to my rant. All right. Dogs are gorgeous. Dogs are beautiful. Dogs are amazing. Dogs are smart. Dogs are also really annoying. Okay. Let's just call it how it is. Not every dog is a perfect angel and not every dog is your dog. I know that people are going to message me. I love my dog. My dog's perfect. It's never peed on anything. I know you probably sent it to a $10,000 training camp. No, probably not. But I'm just saying we can be honest that some dogs are just assholes and some dogs bark nonstop and some dogs don't need to be in a shared space. They need to be kept in the privacy of your room or maybe somewhere else. Also, I mean, I don't know. Maybe she had the dog beforehand. It sounds like she maybe did, but that seems crazy to bring a dog in when you're living with two random roommates, unless they agreed. I don't know what the situation is. I shouldn't judge. Okay, next one. My hometown in Washington has one small therapy clinic. It's become the trendy place to go to therapy because the owner is a therapist influencer. Oh, my best friend had always dreamed of working there. And after she graduated, she got an internship with them. Unfortunately, things were not as they seemed. The owner, who prided herself in being a safe space for marginalized people, was actually the exact opposite. I don't understand when therapists like brand themselves as a safe space, like, duh, like, shouldn't you be a safe space? Like, isn't that the point of a therapist? Okay. Even telling her employees to take their pronouns and ethnicities out of their Instagram bios because it limited their marketability. Sorry? A therapy clinic? a therapist saying, please don't use pronouns. You're not marketable enough. Not use pronouns. Please don't clarify your pronouns. Everybody uses pronouns. I die when I see those videos of people that are like, oh, what are your pronouns? And those people are like, I don't believe in pronouns. I don't do that pronoun stuff. What do you mean you don't believe in pronouns? Do you also not believe in adjectives? Pronouns are a part of speech. Okay. They're not like a political agenda. Having pronouns is just a fact of life. Okay. And having a therapist tell you to take, like, probably something that people go to therapy for often, like sexuality and gender and, you know, figuring themselves out. Don't put your pronouns in your bio. Get a grip. All right. Here's the real juice. The clinic is now closing and nobody knows why until an employee leaked an email from the, we got an email leak. The owner said that she's essentially moved on from therapy because she's already done enough. She's like, I've completed it. I've completed doing therapy. And she's too invested in changing the mental health game. That is such a millennial phrase, the mental health game. Changing the mental health space. AKA, she now wants to sell business and mental health marketing courses. Oh, her email is littered with narcissism, even claiming that she was the first therapist on Instagram. And that's why she brought everyone so much success. She also told them not to tell any of their clients that they're closing because everyone will be too upset. Anyway, be careful who you tell your secrets to because they might end up being a narcissistic nutcase. Let's revisit therapist influencer. Let's revisit that, shall we? What a time. What a time to be alive. Let me start off by saying therapy, two thumbs way up. Two thumbs way, way up. I've had multiple therapists in my life change my brain, change the way I think about things. They have helped me so immensely. I found like three therapists that I seriously would lay down my life for. I love them. They're smart, kind, empathetic people. I've seen probably 10 therapists. So about 70% of the therapists that I saw, the vibes were weird. And the reason why is because they felt a little too comfortable being in charge of my life. They just felt a little too excited to be bossing somebody around. And I've thought a lot about this because, I mean, being a therapist, it's obviously tough, obviously a very hard job. You got to hold a lot of space for a lot of different things. However, I think it attracts a lot of narcissistic personalities because to think that like, oh, I'm so smart and I'm so educated and I'm so awakened that I need to be in charge of other people's lives. Like that is what I think a lot of therapists go into the field to do, like to be in charge and to feel kind of superior. That's narcissism. That's narcissism. Okay. If you feel like your therapist is just getting their rocks off at bossing you around, they're weird. They're very weird. And again, please don't misconstrue my words. This is hashtag not all therapists. There are some wonderful people out there who genuinely do have a vested interest in changing the mental health game. But yeah, therapist influencers kind of make me nervous. I just don't know how I would feel about my therapist being an influencer. Like what in our sessions is going to become content? Like what about it? Because I'm already using my own trauma for my own content. Okay, we can't double dip here. You got to get your own material. Also, I wanted to clarify something. It's not funny. It's traumatic, but it happened to me so I can laugh. My divorce episode raised a lot of questions. And, you know, I did the episode to answer some questions. And then I realized that I had a lot of unanswered questions. And one of them was about my cats and the hatchet. So if you haven't listened to that episode, go back, listen to that, get some context. I got a lot of messages that people were like, wait, what are you talking about? I thought I was clear. Obviously, I was not. That's on me. That's on me, not on you guys. Yeah. So basically, what I went through was so ridiculous and upsetting. But yeah, almost three summers ago, I had two cats that were lost and I didn't know what happened to them. And I was told that they got out accidentally. I never told anybody that it was my now ex-husband who had let them out. And I believed it was an accident and I was told it was an accident. And then after a couple of weeks, I was told that it was actually on purpose. And that was, I mean, I went through a lot of traumatic shit that summer and I hate to like rehash this and like keep bringing it up, but I'm just like, people are asking. So like, might as well just tell you guys, So yeah, I went home. I was kicked out of my apartment. I went back to get my stuff. I found out that the cats were gone and that all my stuff had been destroyed. And yeah, both actions were completed by him. And it is terrible. It's like the most awful thing ever. And I can't believe it. And I think a lot of people are confused. I think I mentioned Lucy in the episode where I talked about the cats and, you know, so people were like, oh, was it Lucy? Nope, it was not. It was done by the person I was married to, and it was on purpose, and it was horrific. And yeah, anyway, that's the last I'll say about it. Sorry for bringing that up again. Okay, next one. I feel like we are paying my brother's bills. He's a server at a restaurant. If we want to spend time with him, he always picks a day when he's working. This means we have to eat at the restaurant he serves at because obviously we leave a great tip. He's always complaining about money, so this means we're probably paying him $100 a month directly. I know it seems petty, but also so weird. No one in my family pays for my job. I think it's weird that when you make plans with him, he's like, yeah, why don't you come into the restaurant while I'm working? Like, that seems like a really weird suggestion. Like, hey, I'm not free, but you're allowed to come visit me at work. I don't know. All right, this one. The drama, my brother and sister-in-law's hiking pace. The context, my family all loves to hike. We grew up hiking and still love to get together as siblings and our kids to hike. Here's the thing. When we do big family hikes, like siblings and our kids, including babies in packs and slow moving toddlers, my brother and his wife won't slow down to accommodate the children. But when we hike as just siblings, my brother and his wife are the slowest in the bunch and get offended if we go a little faster. Even though we often pause for them to catch up, it's annoying because they won't wait for slow hiking kids, but get offended if adults and only adults are going faster than them. The superiority of fast hikers, give me a break. Nothing makes me more mad than when people pride themselves in being a fast hiker. All right. Nobody's impressed by you. Nobody's impressed. It's not cool to be the best at something stupid. Okay. I'm just kidding. I shouldn't say that because you said you love hiking. You know what? I get it. I get the appeal, kind of. Not really. I mean, you get to your destination and you're halfway done. It sounds like a stupid hobby, but I support you doing what you love. And I am on your side. That is stupid. Okay. The bottom line, who cares if we disagree on hiking? We can all agree that people who take their hiking pace too seriously are losers. All right. Next one. I bought some Christmas wreaths and made customized ribbon bows for them to put on all the windows in the front of my house. One day there was a windstorm and one of them blew off. I post on my neighborhood Facebook page a picture of the wreath and just explaining if anybody sees it to let me know. The wreath never showed up. Well, fast forward to a few weeks after Christmas, my neighbor three doors down, who I've never met, posted my wreath on the neighborhood Facebook page for sale. You better believe I sprinted out my door and down to her porch where it was sitting and I reclaimed it. The audacity. And yes, I know it was for sure my wreath because I literally bought fabric and sewed custom bows onto them. Like, it wasn't just a coincidence. And how did she ignore the fact that she drove past my house every day for weeks and clearly saw I had like nine other identical wreaths in my window? You know what I live for? This is kind of hand in hand with like small scale drama, neighborhood drama. I love suburban drama. Okay. And with that, I love wreath culture. I love like moms who prioritize their wreaths and like go buy custom ribbon. Like, this woman, you are my dream neighbor. Okay. I love neighborhood drama and I love wreaths. Who are you? Is there a house for sale? I'll be your neighbor. All right. Next one. This is actually one of the craziest things I've ever heard. And it still shocks me that it happened to me. I went out with a guy who was going to school to become a therapist. Red flag. Just kidding. Kind of. And I found out that he was interning at the same place I went to therapy. Don't worry, there's more, although that was a crazy coincidence. I got to ask my therapist if he seemed legit, so that was fun getting the tea from her. Anyway, we went out like five times or so, and then he called me and ended things somewhat abruptly, in my opinion, but no big deal. Fast forward about 6 months, and I'm getting back together with my ex. He's telling me about how therapy had really helped him, and I realized that he was also going to the same clinic I went to. And then he mentioned how he initially had one therapist, but that therapist ended his internship, so he had to switch to a new therapist. So I asked him, was the new intern named Jackson? And he said, yes, I was literally dating my ex-boyfriend's therapist while my ex was seeing him and potentially talking about our relationship. Insane. My theory is that my therapist finally Instagram stalked me and saw that his current client was my recent ex and felt it a breach of trust or HIPAA or whatever. I truly can't imagine having that realization. So good on him. And it's hilarious and amazing that my ex and I connected the dots. That is my nightmare. That's my nightmare. Going to the same therapist as somebody who's like actively traumatizing me. I shouldn't say actively traumatizing you because you got back together with your ex. So obviously it's fine. But you guys have seen that meme that says like the worst person you know is in therapy right now being told that they're not the problem. I've talked about my beef with that before. Sorry to make this like a therapy centric episode, but yeah, like hopefully you have a therapist who scares you a little bit. Like somebody who's willing to like tell you like when you've done somebody wrong and not who's just there endlessly, you know, validating you. Okay, next one. My sister-in-law threw away my wallflowers from Bath and Body Works in an effort to help me not have chemicals in my home without my permission. Yeah, somebody told me that everything from Bath and Body Works is like an endocrine disruptor. And I don't even know what that means, but you bet I bought into it. You bet I did. I just, you know, somebody said it on a TikTok and it's factual to me. Okay, next. My friend's mom is sleeping with his wife's dad. You're thinking, I can't have read that, right? You did. His mom is cheating on his dad with his father-in-law. And vice versa. His wife's dad is cheating on her mom with her mother-in-law. I'm not even going to go back to reread that. I'm just going to take your word for it. They met at the wedding and have crossed paths at family things over the years. Also, when my friend's wife went into labor with their second kid, they called his mom to stay with their oldest. And apparently she invited the wife's dad while she was in labor in her own home. It feels like a Gossip Girl plot. I mean, wild because the last thing you just drop a home birth on me. So not only are there like cross affairs happening and then we end it with a home birth. You're right. That does sound, no, it doesn't sound like an episode of Gossip Girl. It sounds like an episode of like The Young and the Restless. I'm referencing that. I've never seen it. I don't know what The Young and the Restless is about. Oh, okay. I asked my husband to post about me for my birthday because he hasn't posted on Instagram in 2 years. Instead, he deleted the app. Not good. Not a good sign. I would be offended. I'd be offended. And I'm sick of people telling women that like, you shouldn't be offended over that. Like, I kind of think you should be. Like, if, like, I understand like not a strong social media presence. Like people don't have to post about you all the time. But like, if you ask him to post, like that matters. Like it matters to be posted about on Instagram. Like we're at the point now, like maybe 10 years ago when Instagram wasn't really a thing, like sure, who cares? But now I really undershot that. It was like 15 years ago. But like now, like Instagram is a part, it's like so woven into our culture. Like, yeah, you do kind of have to post about your spouse. You do. Sorry. Like it just, it is what it is. Okay, next one. I could talk about some deeper rooted, oh, there's another Instagram one. Deeper rooted issues that are a little more large scale, but I'll talk about a specific incident that keeps it small scale. My boyfriend doesn't like when I post frequently on social media. By frequently, I mean a few times a week on my story, if that, and an actual post every few months, usually for holidays / occasions. None of these posts are thirst traps or me being disrespectful or anything, but tonight he unfollowed me. And some of my favorite posts that he was tagged in as a collaborator are now deleted. Poof, gone forever. All because he's petty. By favorite posts, I mean the announcement of our daughter being born and our maternity pictures. I know social media is dumb anyway, but those were sentimental posts I loved having on my page. He just did it to be petty and to prove a point. So yeah, clearly some larger issues at hand, but I'll spare you those. No, social, like again, social media is not dumb. Like, it's not like it's part of life. Like, sorry, guys who hate social media, who have a degree in maturity. Like, who cares? Like, they're sentimental posts and you're going to unfollow your girlfriend who just birthed your child. Go to hell. Okay, next one. Let me get right into it. My dad accidentally let it slip at the dinner table that he and my mom sometimes participate in role play where she acts like a dog. Okay. Oh. I don't know if I want to stay on earth anymore. We found out because my sister was walking past their room when he asked my mom to do something for him. And then he pat her and said, good puppy. And then she licked his face and panted like a dog. And then when my sister asked my dad at the dinner table that night why they did that, the words were already out of my dad's mouth before my mom could stop him. Sometimes your mom is as sexy as a dog. You should see her at night when you're all asleep. Maddie, the silence was bone chilling. I know he was probably meaning for it to be humorous and lighthearted, but there was not one bit of laughter. I was mortified, but still holding on to the hope that maybe it was just a joke. A few months later, my brother found a pair of dog ears and a collar in my mom's dresser. This sealed the unfortunate truth. I will never see my parents the same. Say psych right now. Say psych right now. Like that's called bestiality. And it's illegal in every single country. Please say you're joking. Please DM me, email me, call me, send me a carrier pigeon. Please tell me that that's not real. It's not real. I mean, again, I'm not here to kink shame. But I do think that a little bit is in order when you say good puppy and then your partner licks you on the face. I feel like there's some shame involved. There needs to be. There needs to be, you know, like normalize privacy, normalize journaling, normalize never talking about this. I don't know anything about the intimate lives of my loved ones. Like maybe my friends a little bit, like maybe when we're like talking in general terms and like, I like to talk about, you know, it's fun. It's interesting. We talk about stuff like that. We talk about, you know, silly little things or silly little, you know, fantasies, loved ones, relatives. I know nothing. And I would really, really love to keep it that way. Okay. Next one. We'll end on this one. Praying that my family doesn't find out I submitted this, but I also give full permission for this to be read. My sister started dating a new guy who was really into his car. I'm not a car person, but what I can tell you is that he has a really big truck that is lifted with super bright lights everywhere. Wow. I bet he has a huge wiener. Okay. Hopefully everyone gets the vibe. Well, my other sister and I found his TikTok where he posts cringe and sexist and slightly racist videos of his car. Like, I just know what you mean. Like, I already know what slightly racist means. Like, I know this type of man so well. We didn't dare bring it up to our parents in fear of getting in trouble for making fun of her. Anyway, flash forward a couple of months and our 12-year-old brother says at the dinner table, I found your boyfriend's TikTok. It's kind of weird. My sister got very defensive and said that his TikToks are not weird and that they're very popular in the truck community. My other sister responds by saying like, oh, how furry TikToks are big in the furry community. Unfortunately, my sister was very upset and the other sister did get in trouble for her comment, but I just can't stop thinking about how funny this family drama is. Narrowly avoiding big truck guys has been one of my life's greatest successes. My very first boyfriend had big truck guy potential. And thank goodness I saw that coming from a mile away because I can't handle it. I can't handle it. They always hate women. They always kind of wish they had a Confederate flag hanging in their living room. Even if they don't actually do it, they always find a way to sneak in, don't tread on me, on something that they own, whether it be a flag, a hat, a bandana, a patch on their arm. They love it. So I'm glad that I don't have any of those in my life. All right, we're going to wrap up here. Thank you guys for telling me all about your petty little small scale drama, which by the way, typically is pretty big. I'm here to support you. I'm here to validate. I'm here to tell you that your little drama means a lot to me. Thank you for entertaining us this week. Remember to subscribe, rate, review, be safe, be kind, be hot. Of course, subscribe to the Patreon. If you want 2 extra episodes a month, follow me on Instagram at The Bad Broadcast to answer questions and submit your own stories. I love you all very much. I will see you next Monday here at The Bad Broadcast. Love you so much. Bye. Thanks so much for listening. Remember, you can catch a new episode of The Bad Broadcast every Monday. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss anything. Also, I want to hear from you, so please leave a rating and review. You can also follow me on Instagram at The Bad Broadcast for all the behind the scenes action and more information. Talk to you next week.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.